Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On the third night of our National Youth Gathering at Minneapolis, our focus was present. You know, at our Mass event, you know, we talked about our God who is present and how his presence is our refuge and strength no matter what. And we had a lot of speakers that week at our Mass events, and we had a speaker that night. His name was Jason Seaman, and he had such an amazing story to share with us, and he talked a little bit about how God's presence had played a role in his life and being a refuge even in the midst of the trials and the hurts and the pains that he's experienced in his life. And to give you a bit of an idea of what he shared with us that night, I want to play a quick video so you can get just a piece of Jason's story.
7th graders were taking a test in science teacher Jason Seaman's class at 9 a.m. when police say a student who had left earlier returned opening fire.
Active shooter, Noblesville Schools, active shooter.
Setting off panic and chaos. Another student in that classroom who didn't want his face shown describing Seaman's bravery, rushing the shooter after one of his students had been hit.
We saw one girl fall to the ground, and our science teacher immediately ran at him, wadded the gun out of his hand, and tackled him to the ground. If it weren't for him, more of us would have been injured for sure.
Seaman's brother says the former college football player was shot 3 times. Police say the suspect is in custody. Tonight, Seaman hailed a hero.
Because of this quick response today, that we think lives were saved.
You say this was your favorite teacher?
Yeah, he's become like family to me. He's always been there for me and helped me through a lot.
Worried parents reunited with their children, relieved.
It's kind of hard that you have to send your child off not knowing. I mean, it's life, but it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be the way that it is.
Tonight, Seaman issued a statement writing, "I was injured, but am doing great. To all the students, you are all wonderful, and I thank you for your support. You are the reason I teach."
It's crazy stuff. That fateful day in Noblesville, Indiana, of all places, this guy, Jason Seaman, took 3 bullets to stop what could have been an even greater disaster. Now, as he was sharing with us that night, he told us that when he was in the hospital, they never actually removed the bullets. And he actually carries those still in his body. And they're just reminders of what might have been, reminders of that day, reminders of the pain that he endured. Now, last week in my message, we dug into this realness of our God, the realness of our God and the realness in our lives, that our God is real and he knows pain. He's experienced pain and he has overcome it. Our God is real and he's a real refuge and strength in the midst of our trouble. And it's true. It's true that our God is real. And so we can be real about the trouble in our lives. But this story, I think stories like this one, the life of Jason Seaman, is a clear reminder to me. Even though our God is powerful and he has the power to calm the greatest of storms and troubles in our lives, that doesn't mean he will. Our God has the power to cure cancer. Our God has the power to stop school shootings. But he might not. I think that right there, it's one of the hardest places for us to be as Christians. How is God's presence our refuge and strength when the storm still hits? Because it will. And it does. See, I think Jason's story is a reminder that there's real pain and hardship and struggle. And the consequences of sin are very much real and alive in our world. Jason shared with us a number of things about his life and a number of hard times and struggles in his life. I don't know if you noticed, but he's kind of a big guy, big strong guy. Jason was a highly recruited high school football player when he was in high school. He was a linebacker, I believe, and he was expected to be a Division I high school or college football player. He had a promising future ahead of him. He was expected to do well. He was expected to be drafted into the NFL, and then he got hurt. And he had a life-altering injury that crushed his hopes and his dreams. As we see, you know, I think he's bounced back and he's got a good life. But even during those hard times, even though during those times of disappointment, Jason told us that he was reminded of God's presence. He was reminded of who he was, of his identity as not only a football player, but as a child of God. And during these times that were so hard in his life, he was reminded that God's presence is our refuge and strength no matter what. That when God intervenes, and when he does calm the storm, he's our refuge and strength. But even when the storm hits, and God doesn't stop it, and it knocks us off our feet, God is still our refuge and strength. So what does it mean for something to be a refuge? I want to take a moment and slow down and stop, and I want you to do something for me. Would you just close your eyes? I want you to close your eyes and think of this word, refuge. What pictures, what images come to mind when you hear that word, refuge? Now, I'm going to ask you to be bold this morning. If you are seeing something, a picture of what you see as refuge, yell it out. What do you see? Safety, wings, shelter. Yeah. Last night I heard someone say umbrella. Someone said cave. And when I did this myself, I picture a castle. I picture this strong stone fortress that cannot be moved, it cannot be shaken, a castle in which I can be sheltered. I can be sheltered from storms. I can be sheltered from rain. I can be sheltered from any sort of attack that may come at me in my life. So whatever you picture, whatever comes to your mind when you think of that word refuge, for the most part, a refuge is not always going to put an end to troubles. Right? A refuge is a place of shelter. It's a place of safe haven. It's a sanctuary. A refuge isn't a place that puts an end. It doesn't make troubles cease to exist, but rather gives us a place to hide in the midst of that trouble. It shelters us in the midst of the storms of our life. It's a place where we can go and stand up to and through the struggles and trials in our lives. Which I think brings us to our reading in Romans chapter 8. And we're gonna read a couple passages there, so if you want to follow along, you can open up your pew Bible. It's page 944. Romans chapter 8, we're starting at verse 18. I think Paul's letter to the Romans is full of so much spiritual truth, but I think what Paul offers even more in these words in Romans chapter 8 is hope in the midst of real worldly troubles and hardships. See, I think we forget sometimes that Paul was not immune to that. Paul experienced all sorts of hurt, all sorts of trouble in his life. In 2 Corinthians, he writes a little bit about what he experienced in his travels and his missionary journeys. He writes that it was 5 times that he was lashed 39 times by the Jews. 3 times he was beaten with rods. Once he was stoned to the point of death. 3 times shipwrecked. A night and a day adrift at sea. He faced all sorts of dangers, dangers from rivers and robbers and other people, his own people, danger from the Gentiles, dangers in the cities, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers from false brothers. He writes, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. This was the life of the Apostle Paul. Everyday life. And yet, even experiencing all of that, here's what Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. He says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. You see, Paul, he doesn't shy away from the fact that there is suffering. He doesn't pretend like that what we are experiencing right now isn't real. He acknowledges the pain. He recognizes the suffering, but then he points ahead to the future glory in Jesus. The trouble is real, and there isn't always a way for us to escape that trouble. But there's also more on the other side of that trouble. Paul goes on in the next couple verses. He writes, "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we eagerly await for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For it's in this hope that we were saved." Now there's a lot there, but here's kind of what Paul's getting at here. See, Paul's talking about the fact that though we, along with all of creation, have been subjected to this corruption of sin. It ensnares us. It traps us. There's no escape from it. But Paul writes that there's hope because Christ came to redeem. Christ suffered and died to justify us and this world. Christ came to save. Christ came to restore the wonders of this creation that he has made back to its former glory. And so in that hope, we wait. We wait for that final day when all things will be redeemed, when all things will be brought out of this corruption of sin that we're experiencing right now. We await with all of the world for this future glory, the redemption of our bodies, the new creation that is for us because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the hope in which we were saved. That is our hope. And it's with that hope that we and Jason Seaman and all Christians throughout time and history can look our trouble in the face. We can look down the barrel of the gun and have peace. We can have peace. And we can say, if God is for us, who can be against us? Because we know God in his power has made a refuge for us in his son Jesus. He has made a way for us to stand in the midst of this trouble. And yeah, we're going to experience it. And it's not going to be taken away all the time. But we can stand in the midst of that trouble and be sheltered by the hope that we have on that last day. The hope that we have that comes in Jesus Christ, because what he has accomplished, what he has done through the cross, what he has done through the empty tomb is eternal. And it's for all of creation. And so it doesn't matter what trouble we may face. It doesn't matter if it's the lashings that Paul faced or the school gunman that Jason Seaman faced. It doesn't matter if it's any other hurt or concern that this world can throw at us. Paul says, no. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. There is nothing in this world, there's not a single thing in this world that is able to separate us from his love, from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's presence is our refuge and strength no matter what. It's a refuge that cannot be shaken. It cannot be moved. It is the saving power in Jesus Christ that will put an end that last day to the bitterest of trouble, the bitterest of foes in this world. And it's for that day, with that hope, we wait. That's the hope we have. It's the hope that Jason had that day that he shared with us a couple weeks ago. And hope is a hard thing because this hope is something that we don't see with our eyes. It's hope in a promise. A promise that God has made to us in Jesus. That when trouble comes, we find our shelter in this refuge and strength, Jesus, what he has done for us. And without seeing that, that can be hard. But as we remember from that first week, God's promises are always yes in Jesus. And so we can be confident in that day when Jesus will come again. We have nothing to fear. I want to share with you one more passage. This is from John's Revelation, the very back of your Bible. And John shared with us what that day is going to look like. In Revelation chapter 7, here is the promise that we have in Christ Jesus. John writes, "Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these who are clothed in the white robes? And where do they come from?' And I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' He said, 'These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation.'" It's us. "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence." God, our refuge and strength, will shelter us with his presence. "And there they shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne shall be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Brothers and sisters, may you be counted among the saints that day, clothed in white robes that were washed clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. And may you be sheltered by the very presence of God, who is our true refuge and strength, no matter what. Amen.